with Dion and Alan.
You know, this way of reading the Bible not only changes the text, but it changes the whole way in which we read reality, the way in which we deal with ourselves and with other people. And that image you gave of the granite ball was just such a powerful image. I don't know if have you got any other ways to help us to understand our role as individuals and as a collective, you know, group of Christians in the world.
Well, that's right. It is a whole new, it's a whole way, biblical way of seeing reality. You know, often people say, but in the real world. Well, what I'm saying here is Scripture tells us what the real, real world is like. The real world is created by God. And who is God? God is love. And love distributed is justice. Therefore, the world is created in justice, by justice, and for justice. And where something exists in society that is not just, it already has its days numbered.
Mm.
It already has its days numbered. Another illustration, the last segment I spoke of was the image of the granite ball. Another image may be a large tree. And we could say this tree of injustice, all right? But already the roots of that tree have been cut, all right? That you and I know, because the real reality is one of justice. So it means that you and I can be bold to go and push against that tree of injustice, whatever, wherever that injustice is. It may be in our home or community or the state. We can push against it knowing that already the roots of that tree have been cut. It's also true with regard to us as individuals. The real truth about each one of you is that you are born in love, by love, and for love. And if someone labels you or you label yourself something other than that, it is not true. And so this invites us to the real, real world. Now, the challenge to us is that when we look at one another, can we look at one another with eyes that see that each one is born in the image of love and then relate to one another like that?
Yeah, because of course the reality that so many people live according to is this untrue reality of the Babylonian story. And, you know, that's why we are given this gift of Scripture, to help us to discover the truth of who God is and what God's creation is like. And as we engage with the text and with one another, we begin to change our way of being together in
Wonderful.
The world.
Absolutely. One last thing about the text. The Babylonian story basically says the way things are is the way things will remain.
Mm.
It doesn't believe in transformation or change. The biblical story is filled with the possibility for change. In other words, there's hope that the way things are, the way you and I are, needn't remain the same. Now, many of us, let's go back to so-and-so. Many of us, we know so-and-so, and we say so-and-so will never change. Have you ever said that?
Yeah,
so-and-so
absolutely.
Will never change? Well, we are thinking Babylonian when we say that.
Why do you say that?
Well, we are saying, as soon as we say so-and-so cannot change, we are saying that so-and-so is, we're not only judging so-and-so, we're actually judging God.
Wow.
At the same time, we're saying so-and-so is beyond the transformative reach of God. We're saying, God, you're very great. You created the cosmos, but so-and-so is beyond your reach to change. That is passing a judgment against God. Now, when we say it, then our prayer should be, instead of our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, what we're really doing is worshiping the past. We're saying so-and-so's past is more powerful than the living God to transform her or him. So then we should be praying, our past, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because in fact, many of us worship the past. We give credence to the past. We give power to the past far more than we do to the living God. That's the Babylonian way. The biblical way says, no, there is hope for all of us to change. The way things are needn't be the way things remain.
So, you know, Alan, I really want to challenge our listeners to say, go and read that section of Scripture again, Genesis 1 to 3, and keep those four questions in mind. What does this tell me about God? What does it tell me about humanity? What does it tell me about creation and the relationships between them? And then obviously to take those two perspectives, the perspective that's personal but not private, and the perspective that's political, that says some things for the world around us.
Would you like to respond to this?
Send us a text on +27 782 785 300 or visit www.manaandmercy.org.